You're listening to Messenger Insight, a news and information program brought to you by the Baptist Messenger and the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma.
Welcome to this edition of Messenger Insight. I'm Brian Hobbs. I want you to listen into this special interview between staff writer Emily Houston and Mona Ernest, who has an incredible testimony of coming to faith in Christ, from Islam to Christ. Let's listen in now.
Hello, this is Emily Houston. I'm here on the phone with Mona Ernest. She is joining us from Edmond. She is an awesome woman who spoke to our Oklahoma Baptist women at the Women's Session at the State Evangelism Conference. And we're just going to learn a lot more about Mona today, and I'm so excited. Mona, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So, Mona, let's just jump right into this. Tell me a little bit about your journey from becoming a Muslim to becoming a Christ follower.
I moved to the United States from Pakistan when I was 10 years old, and I moved into a pretty tight-knit Muslim community, even though my family wasn't really very practicing as Muslims. My parents had both had jobs, and they worked, and so I didn't really see people in my family praying five times a day or being devout Muslims. And it kind of stayed that way, where we settled into the American culture and, slowly, gradually became Americans and just really loved all the freedoms that we had here in the U.S. to practice religion and to do all these things. And it really wasn't until 9/11 that my own curiosity about my beliefs came into play. And so that's around the time that I actually was challenged by a secular group, actually, that I was going and speaking to. And the reason why I was speaking at that time is because I teach undergraduate business and I teach cultural diversity. And so I was teaching about diversity and talking about the Middle East and growing up in the Middle East and also in Muslim countries like Pakistan. And then I was asked about the Quran, and I was actually asked very, very specific questions, and it was hard for me to answer those because I hadn't read the Quran.
Mm, wow.
And I began to read the Quran, and it took me a little bit over 3 years or so to really process it and go through it. And I was surprised by two things in the Quran as a Muslim. I was surprised by the chapter about women because my dad and my mom are very progressive. They actually believe in education for women. They raised us to have all kinds of different freedoms here in the U.S. and we're not oppressive in any way, shape, or form. And yet I was reading some things that were very contradictory to the way that I was raised. About how women are treated and a woman's worth in the Quran. So that was the first thing that kind of shook me up because I wasn't looking for Jesus. I wasn't interested in Jesus. I just wanted to be a better Muslim. Mm. And then the second thing in the Quran that I found was a whole chapter about Jesus.
Wow. Tell me a little bit more about just after, after you came to that chapter about Jesus, what you had to learn.
Yeah, so I came to that chapter, and I didn't realize that there was an entire chapter about Jesus, and the chapter is called Miriam. It's Surah 19, which Surah just means chapter 19, and it's called Miriam for Jesus' mom, Mary. And the chapter was actually, I'd say, fascinating, but it wasn't. To me, it was very confusing because the Quran actually talks about different prophets that Islam has in common with Christianity. Islam actually talks about Abraham. It talks about Noah. It talks about Moses and David as a prophet. But then it goes into this entire chapter about Jesus. And the things that it presented about Jesus are very, very curious to me because Jesus had all these powers that none of the other prophets that I had read so far in the Quran had. and that included power to give life to inanimate objects. He had the power to do miracles, especially to heal and raise people from the dead. No other prophet so far had done that. And so it was very intriguing and confusing. And then it also talked about the crucifixion and the Quran. I'm sure that you know, or maybe don't know, that the Quran denies the crucifixion of Christ. It says that crucify him, they did not. And so that's something that I was taught all along, that the Christians were wrong and that Jesus was not crucified, and that he's just another great prophet. But another thing that I think is really important is to know that Islam is all about works. And so it's about earning your way up to God. And to question the Quran or to have doubts about it is not a, it's not a good thing. It is not welcomed, and it's not encouraged. So either you believe what's in the Quran or you don't. And the alternative for when you don't believe the Quran, especially as a Muslim, are that you're cast out of the community and that you are an apostate, which has severe penalties that are associated with it. So it was a big thing to not just read the Quran, but then to have these questions, and especially then there were all these questions that were centered around Christ. And Emily, I had no one that I could turn to answer those questions, especially about Jesus, even though I had moved to the U.S. when I was 10, and I was in my 30s and working in the workplace, but I had not met anyone who I felt was basically safe enough to bring my questions to, especially as a Muslim, even about Jesus. I didn't turn to any of my so-called Christian friends.
Wow. What an incredible journey and kind of telling of our culture here, which leads me to our next question. What are some misconceptions that Christians might have that you now know because you have an interesting perspective from both sides? Some misconceptions that keep Christians from being friendly enough to share the gospel with any Muslim.
Yes. I'm going to also backtrack just a bit.
Yeah.
So what I ended up doing, because I had all these questions, was I prayed to God, the only God that I knew, and just asked with an open heart and said, if you're out there, help me. And I don't know where to turn to. And I believe it is the Lord who led me to church. And he led me to a local church in Edmond. And the pastor, the associate pastor there, actually shared the gospel for the very first time in my life and also in my husband's life. And my husband is an American. But he had never heard the gospel either. And so it was the first time that both of us had heard the gospel message ever.
Wow.
And I was 35 years old at that time. And so there's a couple different misconceptions, I think, that keep people from sharing the gospel openly. And even though, like I said, I worked in the workplace, they knew I was a Muslim, so many didn't talk to me about Jesus. And if they did, it was very tentatively, I had never heard the gospel message before. It was the very first time when I had come to church because of God's leading and heard the gospel there. So there's a couple things. Number one is that all Muslims don't know the Quran. Just as all Christians have never read the Bible, many have never read the Bible cover to cover. In fact, it's very rare for me to find Christians who have read their Bibles. And so there's, kind of the 80-20 rule where about 20% have, but the majority of people who call themselves Christians have not read the Bible. And so it's the same thing about Muslims and the Quran. You can't just assume that Muslims have read the Quran or understand it. The problem is compounded by the fact that most Muslims don't speak Arabic as their mother tongue. And the Quran is meant to be read in Arabic, and it is written in Arabic. Mm. There are translations of it, but you're discouraged as a Muslim from reading the translations. So that's a very first big deal. So you can't assume that they know what's even in their book. The second thing is, especially as a woman, that not all Muslims dress in a hijab. You have very progressive Muslims who wear American dress. I actually was able to wear jeans and a t-shirt. And also, culturally, not every Muslim is from the Middle East. Mm. In fact, many of them are from the Southeast Asian countries, and they have a completely different dress. And so just because you see somebody in a hijab doesn't necessarily, you know, mean that, that all Muslims dress in a hijab. The third thing is that at the heart of it, Muslims are created in the image of God, just as all of mankind is, and that they have their own families. They, you know, many of them have children. They have a love for their family. They have a love for their children. So we have a lot of common things. They're working. They're trying to have a good life here in the United States. And at the same time, they have a lot of fears. And so just as Christians may have fears of approaching Muslims, Muslims also have fears of approaching Christians because they see a certain image on TV and they're actually quite turned off with it. And so to find a person who is a real Christian, and by that I mean somebody who is willing to share the gospel, who knows their Bible and is literate in scripture, is actually not that common to find. And then the last thing is that Muslims have 99 most beautiful names for Allah. And yet, out of those 99 names, not a single one is love. And so Muslims don't see God as love. And so the way that they are going to see that God is love is through our interactions with them. So we need to, I love Colossians 4:6, which is, may all your speech be seasoned with salt, be full of grace and seasoned with salt. And we need to show grace, we need to show love, and we need to season our words with the power of the Holy Spirit so that we may be able to reach those who don't know Christ.
Wow, absolutely. Thank you so much, Mona, for just letting us know some of those things that we might not be in tune to as Christians. One more question before we go. What would you like to say to a Muslim who might be listening to this program and is interested in knowing more about Isa? And can you explain to us what Isa is? For those listening, Mona's book is called From Isa to Christ, A Muslim Woman's Search for the Hand of God. So tell us a little bit about that, Mona.
Yes. So Jesus' name in the Quran is Isa, and it comes from the Greek Isos. And so the Arabic name for Christ is Isa. And that's spelled I-S-A. And what I would say to a Muslim person if they're listening, and I pray that they are, is that Isa is not just a prophet. And if you are curious about him, there is a reason why even in the Quran he's given so much power. Muslims, I don't think all Muslims know that Isa is the only one in the Quran who is called sinless and is pure, that he is the one who is coming back to judge, and that we as Christians believe that, and that we actually look forward to that day when Christ comes back to judge. I know Muslims live in a fear of judgment day, as I did, and I was scared that even the next day may not be promised to me and that God may strike me down. And so if you're a Muslim person and you're living in that fear of not knowing what happens to you either tomorrow or even on Judgment Day, I want you to know that God actually makes a way for us to not be in fear anymore, that the missing words of love and grace are found in the grace and the mercy and the love of Christ, because he is the only one who is sinless. So that is true. He is the only one that God gave the power of bringing dead people to life. And through that, through what he has done on the cross, that he actually was crucified on the cross, that he was dead, and that God raised him up again to show the world that he alone has power over life and death. And so if you are Muslim and you're listening and you're scared to death, of dying, and that you do not know what's going to happen to you, if God, if Allah is going to show you the grace and mercy, I'm here to tell you today that the grace and mercy of Allah, of God Almighty, can be found in Christ Jesus, that he is the only one that we should be following, because he is the way, the truth, and the life, and that he is the way to God. He is the way that you can be guaranteed 100% that you will make it to paradise. No other way, no other name under heaven.
Wow, absolutely. Thank you so much for that good and powerful word, Mona. Thank you again, Mona, for talking to us today here at Messenger Insight Podcast. We really appreciate your time. For those interested in knowing more about Mona, you can visit her website at monasababhbooks.com. That's monasababhbooks.com. Thank you again, Mona, and we hope that you have a blessed day.
All right. Thank you so much. Yes, just follow me, and if you want to type in at Mona Sabah Books, that would be good too. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Thanks, Mona.
You have been listening to Messenger Insight, brought to you by the Cooperative Program and the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma. For more, find us in the iTunes Store or visit us at baptistmessenger.com.